afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My pleasure and privilege to be joined tonight by the monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, monks.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Good, good. It's actually more than just the monks. I'm looking at a whole crowd of beautiful of beautiful people here on the west porch of the monastery.
That's what I've heard. And I understand it's the beginning of the retreat season.
Sorry, Michael, I missed that. Could you say that again?
Sure. I understand it's the beginning of the retreat season up there.
It is. It is. And this is actually our first big retreat of the year. We're completely maxed out. We have every spot taken and play at the end of a retreat. And we thought it'd be fun to find out from people, since we're getting ready to start on our retreat center, why come on retreat? Why would somebody want to do something like that? So
right.
I'm just going to pass the phone around and let people say what they see about that. Who wants to start? Yes.
It's a chance to practice like your hair's on fire in a very supportive, loving, just beautiful place, and the food is delicioso.
Great.
Because the monks are the most compassionate, loving, kind people I have ever met anywhere.
Great.
Well, to have the experience of retreat is to be held in the embrace of the privileged environment.
Yes.
You really get a chance to go deep in a way that you can only do when there's so little distraction.
Great.
I can really clearly see my processes, and there's a lot of integrity at the monastery that I really appreciate.
Great.
Being surrounded by nature like it is out here at the monastery, it just brings home the what's really important.
Great.
Okay, let me see who's next. I'm running down the line here. Chris.
All the decisions I have to make are taken away so I can just do what's most essential.
Wonderful.
To use lots and lots and lots of sitting, walking, and working meditation to see how I cause myself to suffer and I can drop that and end suffering.
Great.
To be so positively supported by Sangha.
Because it doesn't get any better than sitting in the sun on the west porch listening listening to open air.
As a monk, because it just deepens my practice to have everyone here, and it's just so much fun.
Who else?
I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Don't believe everything you think." And I came here to find that's perfectly true.
Huh?
The support of Sangha.
Great.
Letting go of self-hate. Getting off the treadmill and having time to pause and look inward, but letting other people be our reflective mirrors so we have a chance to see all our projections. That's my experience.
Great.
The privileged environment here really gives you such a chance to look inward and keep looking inward and keep looking inward that you really get to see the way your ego creates itself and continues to create itself.
Well, I've learned things about myself that I had no idea even existed.
Wow.
Because the monks love it when you come.
To have the time and as others have said, the freedom from all other daily responsibilities is a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yes.
To slow down, to be in an environment where I can slow down and become really gentle with myself and to experience being really gentle with other people around me.
Great.
Because waking up is hard to do at home.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
You on retreat, you find out what you're capable of.
Oh, yeah.
And you're capable of having a life of joy and freedom and sometimes tidying up an outhouse.
To get away from daily distractions and learn what's really distracting you and then how to quiet that.
Oh, great.
I haven't laughed so much since the last time I was here. Okay, here's a few more.
It's an opportunity to see how incredibly courageous and loving I really am.
My heart always gets exactly what it needs, even though my head may not know.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. He'll hear somebody. Hang on just a second.
It's a great and safe way to participate.
Wonderful.
Anyone else? Okay, I think. Oh, wait, here's one more.
And to have the opportunity to meditate more than conditioning lets me meditate at home. I get to meditate many times a day instead of just once a day.
Yeah.
Key word there is get to, huh? here's Peggy.
To be in an environment where people believe that I'm adequate to my experience and experiencing that, I believe it myself.
Great.
Did we mention the food? And Marco's vinaigrette? It's a party for the heart.
That's great, a party for the heart.
We have a couple more minutes here.
Okay, here's somebody.
The stunning beauty around us that we just cannot ignore.
Yes.
Interacting with the four-legged monks and projecting unconditional love on them and receiving it back.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'll tell you, what impresses me as I listen to everybody, Michael, is just how happy we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can tell from the laughter and the smiles, and it's just a really, really happy place to be.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can hear it over the phone here. Sounds really beautiful. Great. Anything else you'd like to share?
Anything else from anyone before we go? Here's one more.
Well, just one other thing. You know, in just a short period of time, you end up connecting with yourself. And that love you find and discover for yourself is projected outward onto everyone that's here. And so that experience is worth coming for.
Yeah.
That's my experience. So you really get to find out how beautiful people actually are.
Yeah.
Here's Jen.
And on Sunday, we start our email class where we're going to be inviting people in to plan their next year of practice. So perfect timing. The entire schedule is about to go, all the stuff that's the rest of 2010 and into some of 2011 is going up on the schedule, so perfect chance to plan when you plan to come be with us.
So, Jen, that's that program is it's going to help people sort of see what's available and then help them kind of get a sense of what they want to do and how to best support their practice for the year. And how would somebody, if they don't know about it, how would they get involved?
I believe the link to sign up is probably on our What's New page, and if it's not, I'm sure our IT person is busy putting it there right now, listening to us. So.
Okay, great. Oh, Sequoia, you want to add something? Here's something else, Michael. Hold on.
Okay.
I just want to say people can find it on our schedule page, the link.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful.
Okay, I think that's the news from here, Michael.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Thank you all for joining me.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay, we will. Good night. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Really, really well.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
Because I remembered about 45 seconds ago the radio show. And I project that you were there going, where is she?
It's really a great practice opportunity.
Yes, I'm
all of
sorry.
It.
I really apologize. I had no intention of doing that to you. but I was just having a good time and failed to notice that it was creeping up on that hour.
Yes, and then awareness just popped you that information.
It was astounding. It was like a big, old airplanes that went across the sky, and it wrote radio show. And, I wish sometimes that we're a little more spacious in the delivery of the information, but well.
Yeah.
So, here we are.
Here we are. Sherry, I have some announcements.
All right.
There's an opportunity to attend a workshop with you in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yes.
You'll be at the Academy of the Pacific on April 23rd and 24th.
Yes. I just invite everybody to hop on a plane and come with me.
Yes. Or if they're already there, they don't need to hop on a plane.
Exactly. Then they're just really lucky.
Yes. Yes. And there are still openings in that workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also spaces available in the retreat with you at Green Cove in North Carolina.
I just was reading a list, as a matter of fact, of the people who so far have signed up for that retreat, and it is an extraordinary gathering of folks. I'm quite excited about that one.
Wonderful. And there'll be a separate workshop with you during the last weekend of the retreat. You'll be at Yogaville, and then there's also the retreat from May 7 to 9, led by the monks and the senior facilitators.
Yes. Yes. So there's no problem with distance.
Yes.
Everybody should be able to get somewhere. We're close to everybody, sort of.
And all those details are on the website.
Good.
And the last thing I want to mention is something that Jen just mentioned, which is the personal practice plan email class is coming up, and there's still time to register.
Uh-huh.
And this is a free email class to help you create a practice plan for the year.
And what? Is that just about the most fun thing anybody ever thought up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really is. It's kind of like your best year yet for practice.
Exactly.
And it's free. What a deal.
What a deal. And it begins this Sunday, April 18th. Details can be found on the Living Compassion website on the schedule page. And with our stack of callers here, Sherry, I want to remind people to focus on one topic as we talk with you.
Yeah. We'll be succinct and to the point and hopefully hear from lots of folks.
Are you ready?
Hmm.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
Are you thawed out yet?
Yes, I am.
Very good.
I guess I'm calling because I was more awake for one of my cycles that I wanted to tell you about.
Uh-huh.
About perfectionism.
Uh-huh.
And I was more sort of up on what was happening in me.
Mm-hmm. Paying closer attention this time.
Yeah, about how I had a lot of voices telling me that I need to make work that was really profound and insightful, and you hadn't come up with the idea yet, so you weren't. It's kind of like being inspired, kind of, and I wasn't inspired yet, so it wasn't time to work yet because you didn't have a real plan yet. But yet, on the other hand, I had kind of four ideas brewing in my head, but yet it was like creating confusion because different parts of me wanted to do different parts of this project.
Uh-huh.
But it was kind of all based around you haven't thought of the perfect idea yet, so you shouldn't be investing so much into the process when sometimes the process will actually give you the answer if you just dive in somewhere.
No kidding. Now that is a wise perspective right there. Because a person could wait their whole life for the voices to say, yes, you have now found the perfect idea, move forward.
It was having these perfectionist ideas isolated me too, because there was no movement towards, well, maybe you should go talk to somebody about your ideas. Maybe, you know, like, or maybe you should, you know. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of opportunities to get it outside of my own head, or to write it down, or to make a visual graph, but instead it was just stalemate, sort of, and then an anxiety that was building because the deadline is coming closer and closer.
Yeah,
and closer.
Yeah, and you have to, but you can't. You have to, but you can't. Good for you. So you watched it kind of all the way through.
Yeah, I was with a lot more compassion for myself. The idea that, or with the idea that I don't need to change myself. I don't want to fail, and I don't want to lose, but I still identified with that person a lot, but it was like with more compassion. Like, you haven't been able to change this behavior. Like, there's different sort of degrees of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's where it's like conditioning has taken away just more obvious things on how to take care of myself, and it's like I'm getting into a more and more desperate place.
Uh-huh.
It gets to be the deadline, and then yes, I get to feel like a loser and feel like a failure, but it's all less personal, because it's like, well, I saw how this happened more, with more compassion, so that this, I mean, I haven't completely failed or completely lost yet.
You're not even anywhere close to failure. This is, to me, of course, this is the whole point. You are wildly successful. And when you work all of this out, when you see through all of it and it doesn't trip you up anymore, and you're able to take the steps that you know you need to take to accomplish what it is that you want to accomplish, you'll do all kinds of things, because you will be freed up from this thing that would have paralyzed you and kept calling you names all of your life. So this is, it's kind of like you're in school, you're studying, say you're studying to be an architect, and the voices are beating you up because you haven't built anything yet.
Yeah. I think I'm able to say that I'm able to be less defensive about this process of that I'm labeling perfectionism, I guess, right now. I mean,
it's just a conditioned process that's there to cause you to suffer.
Yeah.
And you're seeing through it, and you're freeing yourself from that suffering. That's success.
I was hoping that maybe there was, or maybe you could tell me what maybe book to read that, or what do you think? Do you think you could, I mean, I don't have a reputation for being a good homework doer yet. So,
uh-huh.
I don't know. What do you think? Should I ask for homework, or should I?
I mean, I don't know all the details of this, but it seems to me, just from what you're telling me,
you're doing just fine. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're paying attention. You're seeing it. You recognize the voices. You know what they are. You watch how they affect you. I mean, that's it. You are in a big practice of disidentifying from this stuff, stepping back, and not being caught in believing it. That's the practice.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I really want you to keep in mind is that that system has no interest in you being perfect at anything except suffering.
It wants me to be a loser.
It
does. Fail.
Yeah, wants to beat you up. And is, in fact, as you can see, doing everything that it possibly can to make sure that that happens. And you're moving through it in spite of its best, worst efforts.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you want a support for it, I don't know if you have a copy of Making a Change for Good.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. That can be just a nice support, a nice gentle, you know, you look at it in the morning, kind of get your focus, and then you check in at the end of the day. And above all, write down all of your successes in awareness. Forget successes in stuff you're doing. Focus on your successes in awareness.
Yeah. I haven't really completed it yet because I'll miss a day and then I'll say that that's not perfect and then I'll start over.
Uh-huh.
I think that's how I do everything.
That's right. And, which is good to know, isn't it? And here's the deal. If you can do that with a sense of lightness and fun, if starting at day one for the rest of your life gives you great joy, great. Good as it gets.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Don't fall for that old unless you go in 30 days to day 30. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be happy with the one who's doing the work, and it doesn't matter what day you're on. Open the book anywhere. It's a good day.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It is. It's a good deal. Okay, tell me quickly, though, what's the temperature where you are?
Oh, it's got to be 70s or something. 60s is it's the kind of temperature where I just have a light coat on.
Wow.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Excellent. I'm so happy because I always picture you shivering. So I'm very pleased about that. All right. Take care and keep me posted, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Rebecca from Texas.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
What's going on in the Lone Star State?
Oh, well, I have been looking at, the whole relationship koan that I've been dealing with a lot lately. Lately, I mean the last couple of years. Seems to be an ongoing workshop for me.
Uh-huh. You are specifically referring to a relationship with a person external to yourself.
Yeah, that ended about a year ago, but it's really not about that specifically. I am able to get some distance and see some things that you know, like what you said to me a while back, seeing the karma around it all. And so I had this other kind of wave the last few days about just really wanting to be in a relationship and wanting, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's so tied to sex, too. I mean, it's just all about sexuality and being with another person and all of that. And I just, and
but
the conditioning.
Just 1 second. Now, don't lose your train of thought.
Okay.
But it is fiendish how all of that gets mushed together, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many people want to have sex and wind up in a relationship with a lifetime commitment that if they had been more lucid, would not have gone in that direction.
Oh my gosh, that is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah, I mean, the karmic stuff around that, the whole religious about sexuality and how it has to happen in this particular way under these particular circumstances or you're a bad person. And by the way, those particular circumstances are set up pretty much to guarantee that unless you're really lucky and wise enough to find an incredible amount of support for yourself, it's not going to lead to a happy life.
Yeah. And whoever added the word forever in all of this, that was just the icing on the karmic cake. You know?
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah. Well, I do too.
Yeah. So for the sake of this argument, this is not an argument, is it? For this discussion, we are cognizant of the fact that those are two very different issues that get put together into one package.
Yeah. And, you know, just in saying that, I'm reminded of what I saw this morning, because this insight that dropped in, and I didn't see it until just this minute, but I was going along, you know, feeling all longing and wanting and all of that, and it was like something just sort of shifted, and this little voice kind of said, oh yeah, I'm married to life. And everything shifted there. It was like, I mean, I was reminded of this commitment, this sort of vow that I had made to myself that my relationship with life was going to be most important, was going to be primary. And I'm getting re-inspired all over again. Just from that. I mean, it was like kind of like coming back to your lover, to your I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Your life partner.
To your life partner. And then watching all the stuff just kind of swirl up again around that. Well, that's all well and good, but you know, you can't have sex with life. You know, you can't have, you know, where you need another human being. You need another person and all of that just sort of building up again.
And that, just right there, if we do a little time out, spend a little minute here, do you look into the beliefs and assumptions that you have about that keep all of that in place in the way it is?
Well, say more.
Well,
I mean,
in our practice, you know, the precept is not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's pretty wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind that, as I've always interpreted it, is that's between you and your heart to know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
In precepts retreats, as you probably know, you know, we've had people have long discussions about how incredibly unchaste it's possible to be within a committed relationship like a marriage.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
I have. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Anne.
And how it is perfectly possible not to feel that a relationship is unchaste at all, even though it doesn't meet any of the conventional standards of society.
Yeah, and I have looked at that a lot. And seeing that very point, and in fact, I remember one time on a precepts retreat, one of the monks read a definition from Webster's of chaste, and one of the definitions on down the list was not pure in the sense of some sort of metal, or so, you know, that if it's not a pure 100% metal, like metal, you know, it was considered unchaste. And I thought, that is so great. So it's really about just being pure with whatever the substance is. You know, you can be unchaste in word and deed, you know, so it's really about just being faithful. So in that sense, my kind of wandering off into wanting and wanting to call this guy again and get back to, you know, all that, and kind of leaving my primary relationship with life, that was a really unchaste thing in that moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I particularly enjoy torturing women over is, you know, I want a relationship. You know, what I really want is a relationship. And I want a relationship with, you know, somebody who's available and open emotionally and can really be there and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's standing right there, okay? But I'm not attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm really attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not going to meet a single one of the needs that I claim are what drives me toward the desire for a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've recognized that and myself too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So to look at how conditioned mind sets things up so that they will absolutely result in dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
And then dwell
yeah.
on the fact of dissatisfaction.
And in the process of that, you know who I think there's what I think happens internally, and you know, besides just the dissatisfaction, is that there's some sexual part of me that continues to get sort of locked away. That can't, you know, I've gotten a glimpse of this part once or twice, really just once or twice in my life, that there's some, I don't know, I haven't seen her much, so I don't really know how to describe her too much, but I know that it's just like this very profoundly sensual person that just doesn't get much airtime. And I just am wondering, it just occurred to me that this whole process is what keeps her maybe locked away or something. Does that make any sense?
Oh, it does, absolutely. So I was, what the images that were arising when you were talking about that is all of the ways that that could be explored, that sensuality could be explored outside the conversation about sexuality.
Like how?
Well, one of the things is something like dance, belly dancing,
mm,
or
mm-hmm.
that sort of, you know, those kinds of sensual,
expressions, just sensual expressions, yeah.
So here now we've got three, right? So we've got sex, wanting to have sex, wanting to have some undefined relationship.
With somebody.
Yeah, with somebody.
In a specific way.
Yeah, and now we have sensuality. And these have all gotten mushed together. God knows what else has gotten mushed into that soup of dissatisfaction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember sitting on the beach on retreat, not, you know, within like, it's been within the last year, I think, but and just feeling the breeze and feeling the sand and thinking, gosh, this is like one of the most sensual experiences you can have, you know, just with life and the earth and the wind and the, all of that, you know, when I was really present, it just felt sexual and all, you know, in all of those ways that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Sensual, really, and erotic is. And
very pleasurable, and you know, and it was kind of in the celibate period of my life, and I remember thinking, well, that's kind of cool, you know, I need to rethink what this all means and quit feeling, and not have to feel so deprived.
Yes, and I think that's where this conversation becomes global and broadly applicable. Okay,
mm-hmm.
In that. Something gets a label, and the decision is made that's not okay. That's not what I want. I'm missing something. There's something wrong with this, and then
yeah.
we go directly to the suffering, rather
yeah.
than well, what is this? Okay, what about that? What do you want? What would take care of that? How would that be? Well, what comes up when you consider that? Well, what about that? What if you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Getting
to know these people, getting to take care of them, being in relationship with them, rather than everybody saying, yeah, well, I'm never going to get what I want, so might as well be depressed.
Yeah. And that possibility, that movement was what I felt this morning when I was saying I felt like I kind of came back to my life partner when I disidentified and that shift happened. Then all of a sudden I was with that being that wanted to, you know, to love me in any way I needed loved, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yes, and who knows what's possible when we're not putting all of our life force into an energetic force field designed to keep everything at bay so that karma can remain in control of our lives.
Yeah, really. Who does know? Well, fun possibilities.
Lots of those.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye,
all
Michael.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to listen to our sponsors here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Open Air. Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Janet, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. What's going on?
Yeah, well, a couple things. I was thinking, I was listening to a caller one night committing to calling in every month, and I heard myself thinking, God, he's really lucky. He's really lucky he gets to talk to Sherry once a month. So I made sure that I put that down in my book. So I called a month ago and talked to Jen, and today I looked in my book and it said call into the radio show, and so here I am.
So that answers that any questions we might have about luck.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what was so fun, because when I heard that, I was like, well, that's not luck. That's like
that's called a
commitment. That's called commitment, and here I can do that too. So, yeah, that was very fun. It was great when I saw it, and then about a half hour before calling in, you know, I came up with, well, maybe not tonight. You know, I'll just rewrite it in for next week. And I was like, no, this is what I'm doing.
I don't think so. Thanks. That's a really good idea, but no.
Yeah. So, and it was so fun to listen to everybody on the West Porch. And I was thinking of a practice everywhere. You know, take a deep breath and feel like I'm sitting on the West Porch listening to open air with Sangha.
Uh-huh. Nice.
That just takes me right to such a deep place.
Uh-huh. And we're closing in on the weather that will make that possible again.
Yeah, that's great. So I had something interesting come up the other day, and I wanted to report it. I found it really fascinating. I was working with somebody, and you know, it's a coaching client, and he's also working with somebody else. And he had told me that he was also working with somebody else. And he sent me something. And when I got it, it was a foreword. And it had all these questions with these answers on it, or these little things written in there, comments. And I started reading it. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what this other person he's working with is writing this stuff. And I started reading it, and I got this, like, tightness in my chest, and just this, my whole body just started closing in on itself. And the thought was, this person is unbelievable. I can't even compete with this person. This person is so good, and I'm just pretty worthless. And it was very fast. It happened in a matter of, you know, seconds. And then I happened to grab a piece of paper that I had, something that we had done before, and I'm looking at it, and I'm realizing that that person that I'm talking about is me, because those were all things that I had written. And it was such a clash of realities. It's like,
oh, what a great moment.
It was unbelievable. And I sat down, and I just burst out laughing. And but I got to see that whole wind up and that whole real thing that comes up, and it just doesn't come up in that. It comes up quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know this is a pattern.
Uh-huh.
You know, this, you know, you really don't measure up to this, or you don't measure up to this. And it was
catch
shocking.
It in such a blatant lie. That's fabulous.
It felt so weird, because it felt like I was in this altered reality or something. Mm-hmm. It was like, wait a minute, what? You know, so, and then I was thinking more about it, because I found it just so fascinating. And what I was really thinking was, when I actually wrote what I wrote or did what I did, I was so disidentified. You know what I'm saying? It was, mm-hmm. what what was coming through to me had nothing to do with conditioning.
Exactly.
And that world of conditioning. And
I wonder if that's why the person reading it didn't recognize it immediately.
Isn't that something? Because the person reading it was so identified, just watching to see what was wrong, what was going to be wrong, and how they were going to be wrong, and you know who they were going to fight with.
Yeah, you know, I've had an experience like that with people talking on this show, and they would talk about whatever they talked about, and then the voices would start in on them that they just sounded so stupid and they didn't make any sense and that was ridiculous, and they're terrified to listen to the archive of the show because they don't want to hear themselves sounding like such a fool. And then finally they get up courage enough to listen, and they listen to it, and it's like perfectly sensible.
Yeah. And probably better than sensible. I was like, wow. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. You know,
yeah.
It was
and a good reminder when we are tempted to believe that those voices know what they're talking about, that they have a handle on some truth that we don't have, and that we really need them to kind of show us the way and protect us and let us know what's really going on. No, they
yes,
in fact,
and
don't know.
And then I'll add to that a good reminder to stay with the practice everywhere and all the opportunities, because you know I'm someone who does do all of that, and I still was like right in it.
Right. Isn't that?
But I don't. Yeah. But I think, is it you or somebody else tells the story about walking down the street and falling in the hole?
Uh huh. Yeah.
You
no,
know,
it's
and,
not my story, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that story where you end up going down a whole different street eventually, but
yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what it is. It's like I catch it a lot quicker than I ever used to. You know, it's not like weeks and anything like that. It's moments, but. It is, it's like that, it's a default setting, like,
Yeah, if you're not right there paying attention, that's the story it's going to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, every time. Just, yeah.
Great
so,
to see.
Yeah, it is great to see. So I'm
that's
just
like
so
a,
appreci-
you know, it's like a, today is projection day at the, we're doing not what but how at the monastery.
Uh-huh.
And that's such a that's like a projection exercise, you know, where you're reading this thing and projecting all over it, and then all of a sudden you have this realization of what's actually going on, and you're forced to confront that level of projection for what it is. You know,
yeah.
In a way that it's hard for us to get kind of fooled in that way that produces that shock of recognition. The way that little exercise did.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And huge projection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I should have, well, here I am. I can be part of the day.
Exactly. Perfect. Perfect timing. I'm so glad you didn't write us in for next week, because it wouldn't have been, well, it would be projection day in that every day is projection day, but not at the Not What But How workshop.
I remember the projection day. I have been there for the projection day.
Yes, yes, very good, very good.
Yes.
All right.
So thank you so much.
Talk to you before long then, huh?
I'm going to call back in a month.
Excellent. Thanks, Janet.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Humer. Sherry, let's stop, drop, and breathe.
Oh.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe.
This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next call, you are now live on the air.
Yep.
Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
So last week, it took me a second to get on the call because I was overcome with emotion. And, of course, then tonight... So tonight, of course, I hear, I get to hear Lisa's voice on the call, and that was neat. Anyway, excuse me. So I said last week that this week was going to be this past week was going to be more of a, like an easy warm-up into the rest of the at-home retreat. And a few hours after the call, it became less easy, but nothing that would require emotion here. No, we had a case of a head lice at the house, which happens with school kids, you know, off and on. So, but that entails just laundry and combing and shampooing and over and over and over. So it just it's kind of funny, just that, you know, I had these expectations of, oh yeah, this week we'll just, you know, we'll cruise, we'll be, it's spring break, we'll go here, do that. And then ended up with all this other stuff, which is funny.
You know, one of the things that we could learn is not to go down that road of, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be easy. This is all going to – it's like, you know, you could just see the little gremlins around the edge of rubbing their hands together in anticipation of our reactions.
Yes. And so with this particular thing, you know, the kids at that point can't go to anybody else's house and, not, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You know, then they're fine now, and I've been – but still, even now, it's still – you want to check every single day and do all this stuff. And if anybody has ever had to deal with that, they know what I'm talking about. But so that was just – and it was funny, too, because the same thing happened that always happens, and I haven't got it yet, and which is – when I'm on a retreat, not at the monastery, but I'm doing something like an email class or a 30-day in the book retreat, something will happen in that time period that's capital R, really important.
Yes.
And then every time. And it often will, sometimes not always, but often it'll end up blowing up the retreat in some way.
Yes.
And so for Wednesday and Thursday of last week, no, I didn't meditate. And I'm waking up at 4 a.m. being anxious. Okay, I got to do this. So I get up and I'm just lost. And so eventually, I mean, it took me two, not totally asleep days. But it's not that I was asleep because my watch is buzzing, but I wasn't actually getting up and meditating and,
yeah,
you know.
Not really taking care of yourself.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but that something has frequently happened where something important happens during the retreat at that time. At the time, it always seems like it's really, really, really important.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you say that, I wonder if those really, really important things are always happening, and we don't notice them in the same way. If, in other words, that we're if we're just going along in life and something like that completely interrupts our schedule and like that, if we're not doing anything that we're really focused on, we just kind of incorporate those disruptions into the rest of life and accommodate the time and space and all of that in whatever way. But when we've decided that there's something that we're going to do, you know, we make that commitment to whatever it is, then we're really aware when that capital R comes in and takes us away from what we intended to do. So it just
occurs to me, if there's any truth to that, maybe somebody's paid attention enough to know whether there is truth to that, then it would be such a great opportunity, because what conditioning wants us to do is focus on how we blew it. Well, you didn't do it. You said you were going to do this and this and this, and you didn't do it. But instead to say, you know, I really wanted to do that. It was my intention to do that. This thing came along. I feel compelled to take care of this, that's the responsible thing to do. The children have headlights. It seems important to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what my retreat then turns into is, how can I bring the most compassion to this person who is disappointed about not being able to get to do what he had planned to do?
Oh, yeah. You always have a knack for finding the most compassionate answer. I like that, because it's, and also what you were saying strikes me as true.
Yeah.
I'll look at that,
yeah.
But it seems that way, that, you know, things are happening and then things get incorporated. But when you're doing this thing, this retreat or whatever, then whatever it is that bumps, that interferes with that, becomes this big thing.
Yeah, and used against you as if you chose the big interruption.
Right.
So that you could get out of doing what it is that you wanted to do in the first place. I mean, it doesn't make any sense until we're in there with conditioning getting beaten up over it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the implication is, well, you just bailed out on that retreat because this thing happened.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, actually I didn't. I'm really dealing with my disappointment in a very kind and grown up sort of a way.
Uh-huh. Yes, because that's, you know.
Because that's what it is. That's what's actually going on. And it's funny, it's like, you know, I always think with people that, you know, you go on retreat and then you go back to the rest of your life, and you have to kind of work twice as hard to catch up and all of this because you've been on retreat. And I think, no, you should actually go on retreat and then take a couple of more days to catch up with all of the things that you need to catch up with and to make it a reward because you've been doing this really important thing. You know, going on retreat is not going on vacation. So, so to reward ourselves, take extra care of ourselves for doing this really important work, not only for ourselves but for the world, rather than having what feels like a punishment. You know, okay, well, you better hit the ground running now because you've been off just sitting around that monastery all the, you know. It's like, but anyway, it's probably not going to catch on, but I think it should.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
good.
Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. You're kind of, are you, what is this, day, are you getting close
this would,
to halfway
well,
through?
This is day 13.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
a little
right.
Bit more
it
to
started
go.
On the 1st, so you're hitting the halfway point.
So
all
tomorrow
right,
will be the halfway point, and then we'll be over the hump but into the tail end starting Thursday.
All right. Well, keep us posted, huh?
Oh, I will be back next week.
Good. Okay. Take care.
Right.
Good night.
Thanks, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have some more callers here.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the internet. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Ramita in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I loved hearing the good news update. Happiness is what I wanted to talk about tonight, and it was wonderful hearing all those happy people over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you in spirit on the West Porch. It seems to me, Sherry, like what I've been looking at is the part of me that continues to go to conditioning for guidance rather than to my heart.
Boy, it's just a hard habit to break, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And recognizing how tough that was, I got an impulse to do some non-dominant handwriting with getting in touch with the part that feels they need to do that. And it was really interesting to see how a part of me really values, you know, there's that belief that that's where guidance comes from. That's what's going to keep me safe. And, you know, all the effort put in probably for many lifetimes and accumulating all that knowledge. And finding a way to sort of mentor that self and that part and reassure myself has given me some space, and it seems like a beginning of a genuine choice to be present and to listen for guidance from my heart instead of conditioning.
You know, when you said that, there is something like there's a belief that that's what will keep me safe. And again, we're hearing a true statement, because that is what will keep that me safe. That me who lives in that world and believes that, and, you know, that whole conditioned reality. And so, to me, it seems the work is realizing that the person who wants to follow her heart is not that me. So that me being safe in a conditioned reality does not at all meet the needs of the one who wants to live from the heart.
Yes. Yes, and that's what seems to be opening up the way for happiness.
Yes. Yes. As simple as the heart is happy. That conditioned reality that promises safety or success or whatever it promises and never delivers, it's not happy. It's always striving. It's worried. It's anxious. It's fearful. It's upset. It's comparing. It's judging. It's of course, that's all on the way to happiness, right? Because when all those problems get worked out, then, of course, you'll be happy.
That's the story.
That's the story. And once we've lived for a few years, we realize, this is not, I'm not getting the payoff that I hoped for when I signed the contract.
Yeah. And then feeling this happiness, you know, this bubbling up of just joy and, oh, just all the good stuff, and then hearing conditioning projecting it outside. Well, you're happy because of that, or you're happy because of the weather, or you're happy because of fill in the blank. And the newly discovering tendency to see that and to reclaim that projection.
Yes. Yeah, because you can say, yes, I am. I am happy because of the weather. I'm happy because of the blue skies. I'm happy because of everything.
Well, I guess the part, see, when I get to this, you know, I feel these moments of happiness, and then it slides, then I become unconscious, and it gets turned into something else. And I think what happens is I project the happiness outside of myself, say that there's some external condition that's creating it, and then when that external changes, there goes my happiness.
Well, of course, that's the old story, right? What you're realizing...
That's the old habit.
Yeah, what you're realizing is that's not true at all. My projection is the happiness is there, and what distracts you is turning your attention to the conversation in which conditioning says, well, you're happy, and by the time, you know, you turn your attention to that, you're really positioned not to be happy. That's the that's the place that it sneaks in there. Can you get a sense of that?
It looks like we've lost Ramita.
Oh, good, because usually Ramita would get that immediately.
Yes.
Yes, and that long gap made me a little anxious there. That.
Yes. Yes.
I was being terribly unclear.
Yes.
Well, shoot.
And, yes. And we're getting close to the hour, and I can watch to see if she gets back in here. We want to move to another caller. How shall we proceed?
Well, if there's time, we'll talk to another caller, and then Ramita can check back in with us and reassure me that, in fact, she did follow that perfectly.
Yes, yes. Okay, let's talk to another caller. Caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi.
Hey, so do I only have 3 minutes, 2 minutes?
Michael?
Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
We can talk for as long as, Sherry, you want to talk.
Okay. Tracy can make it fast. What's going on?
I'm going to make it really clear. Karmic relationships. Gosh, Sherry, as I've called in before, in a relationship, and, you know, there's karma in it around, you know, me being criticized and somebody not being available and somebody being impatient and angry. And I felt like I made a commitment that I'm going to do this for 6 months and not even get into a dialogue that I should be anywhere else. And just show up, and it's been this incredible opportunity of self-facilitating and really showing up and taking care of, you know, all these parts that have a hard time.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like I've been able to do that in a really, you know, so I'm really happy with the way that I'm showing up. And just a couple of days ago, we got off the phone, and he was in this place of like, oh, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing you, and blah, 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 blah. And I got off the phone, and there was a hit of like, oh, my gosh, I kind of feel like I'm in relationship with two people. Like, there's one that kind of gets really excited about seeing me, and then when I actually show up, there's a different person there. There's a person who a lot of times isn't there or will make these weird comments and not making me feel very welcome. And it was this thing of like, wow, I so see kind of, it seems to me, like conditioning. Like there's an aspect that wants to be in a relationship and an aspect that doesn't.
And you or him at this point?
In him.
Oh, okay.
In him. I really feel good. Like I, probably better than I've ever have in any relationship. I keep thinking represent practice, you know, really just take care of this being and, you know, facilitate my aspects and, you know, so I can actually be there to have an experience. And so my question or the reason that I'm calling is when I felt that way, I thought, oh, my gosh, like at what point do you just keep showing up and say, wow, this is really not the experience that I'm looking for? Or, you know, like I did say to him, like, gosh, you know, I just want to check in with you. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, sometimes when I show up, you know, and he could hear it and, you know, didn't get defensive or anything. And so I haven't heard a response back yet. But it feels like it's been an incredible, rich learning opportunity. And then at what point do you say, okay, I've learned a lot. I've facilitated all these aspects a lot. And this is not. The experience.
Yeah, this is, yeah, I could learn more somewhere else. I'm curious to know if he, is he open to exploring this? So you've told him your experience of this, you know, we talk on the phone, you're really excited to see me, then I get there, it doesn't seem that way. I don't know what it is. I don't know how much of it is me projecting that. I don't know how much of it is you. You know, is he interested in exploring that and finding out what's going on?
You know, he, this is his I'll project what he would say. His answer is yes, and it really scares him. He's interested in awareness, and then I project who gets scared. Who gets scared is, you know, probably the ego. And so, I mean, he's made a comment of, you know, he appreciates so much who I am, and, you know, I'm unlike any other woman he's, you know, been in relationship with. And so I think there is a, you know, draw to it and then being really scared.
Well, you know, since this is a giant relationship workshop experiment for you,
right.
that might be the answer to your question, that you do this for as long as he's willing to do it. You might not have to worry about ending the relationship. He's liable to make that decision for you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Up until that point, you can be, you know, you can really do the best that you can do to be centered and kind and loving and honest and available and present and, you know, all of those things that you're practicing being in relationship and exploring for yourself. What's going on? You know, how much of this is me? How much of it is a projection? Where's that projection coming from? It really is projection day. Because, you know, he's doing what he's doing, but I'm the one who's interpreting it. I'm the one who's making it mean whatever think it means. So, and you just stay within your little workshop and see what happens.
Gosh, Terry, and, you know, and so on that, what there's this curiosity about, you know, if at some point, like, there's no trigger in me left, like, will it just cease to exist?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm still kind of really curious about, so I guess I haven't gotten that answer for myself yet.
That's right, and since you are as neutral as you are about this, why not continue until that's resolved for you.
Until it's resolved.
You know, if it were abusive or that sort of thing, then you know, we would all say, maybe not. But it's not.
Yeah.
And it's just simply a matter of, do I want to do this anymore? Well, you know, that's a place in practice that we all get to. So there I am working on whatever, and, you know, I get to this, do I really want to do that? Well, you know, as long as that question is there, there's probably something more for me in this. And when there is no more question, then I find myself doing whatever it is that I'm doing because it's just the next step to take. It doesn't, you know, it's not loaded. There's nothing, there's no decision to make. It just, life opens up a path, and that's the path I'm on.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That makes sense, especially it's just been such a really wonderful place of not being in relationship with the voices that tell me that I should be anywhere different or things should be different or da-da-da-da-da,
exactly.
And turning towards what I do appreciate and continuing to show up. And so I feel like if something becomes clear, then there won't be that jockeying of like, well, I should have, or if I
don't
know, I feel like I really have been there. And so in that place, I guess, you know, I guess that's when the intuition or just when life just kind of appears and gives you the answer. But I guess if I am asking that question, like you said, then there's still more to explore.
I think that's my best guess.
Okay. And good, and then maybe I'll get to call in and say, oh, my gosh, now that there's not that trigger about, you know, my, you know, blah, 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 then, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it disappears in him as well, if there's nobody there to receive it.
Oh, that is such an interesting place. When we let go of something and the other person changes. And for the rest of your life, you're going, was that him? Was that me? Who let go? Starts feeling a little spooky and magical.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's where I want to go next. Oh, good. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. If I don't talk to you before, have a great trip.
Thank you. Oh, really looking forward to it.
Yep, eager to see the blogs.
Yep, oh, good. Thank you. Thanks for staying on the phone. I'm so glad I got through.
Yeah, me too. All right, take care.
Thanks, good Michael. Night. Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You've been listening to another great edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, I do not see Ramita here.
Okay. Well, we'll get Ramita next week.
Yes, and I'm going to invite back all these callers here to call in early next week.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Yes, and thanks to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And all those folks on the West Porch.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
All right. Good night.
Good night.